Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading the last verse of chapter 26, canto 10. This is verse 25. And it's something of a summary verse, going back to the beginning and little messages about the past time and finishing up. Translation of text 25. Indra became angry when his sacrifice was disrupted, and thus he caused rain and hail to fall on Gokula, accompanied by lightning and powerful winds, all of which brought great suffering to the cowherds, animals, and women there. When Lord Krishna, who is by nature always compassionate, saw the condition of those who had only him as their shelter, he smiled broadly and lifted Govardhan Hill with one hand, just as a small child picks up a mushroom to play with it. Holding up the hill, he protected the cowherd community. May he, Govinda, the lord of the cows, and the destroyer of Indra's pride, be pleased with us. That's the final verse. The word, this is BBT purport, the word Indra means Lord or King. Thus, in this verse, Krishna is pointedly called Indro Gavam, the Lord of the cows. In fact, he is the real Indra, the real ruler of everyone. And the demigods are merely his servants representing his supreme will. Paragraph. It is apparent from this and the previous verses in this chapter that Lord Krishna's lifting of Govardhan Hill made quite an impression on the simple cowherd men of Vrindavan. And they repeatedly remembered this feat, certainly anyone who soberly and objectively considers the activities of young Krishna will surrender to him and become his eternal devotee in loving devotional service. That is the rational conclusion one should come to after reading this chapter. So that's the end of the chapter. And we'll go to our commentaries now. Vishwanath writes, Shukadev speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. It's important because there's reference to his being protected by Sringi's anger. So, oh, King Parikshit, may that Krishna, who lifted Govardhan and protected the inhabitants of Braja from the disturbance caused by hunger, hail, and rain arising from Indra's wrath, who was expert in starting the worship of Govardhan, Krishna, and cut the essence of the Vedas in the form of the Bhagavata from the lightning bolt curse arising from Sringi's anger, who is expert at starting the sacrifice of listening to the Bhagavatam and destroys the pride of the Brahmanas devoid of bhakti, be pleased with us. Unquote. In this way, Shukadev, by praying for Krishna's mercy, indicates that Parikshit should apply this to himself. Quote, when Indra, angry that his sacrifice was stopped, began to pour rain, Krishna, tied with rain, hail, lightning, and wind, he smiled slightly and, with little effort, lifted Govardhan easily like a small child lifting a mushroom and protected Vraja. May Indra, the Indra of Gokula, with Prikshit, with me, and with the assembled listeners. Very nice. Us too, by the way. Opening events in great bliss. Shukadeva remembers the pretext of destroying Indra's sacrifice in order that Krishna protect the people of Raja who had taken shelter of him while meditating on him as the king of the cows, the object of his own love. That's the cows. Realizing the great affection which they had for him as the highest human goal, understanding that such love was the highest taste, Shukadeva has these realizations, and that it was solely dependent upon his mercy, Shukadeva prays for such love. And next paragraph, Indra, creating showers of rain, produced fear, created by his revengeful mood. His anger at having his sacrifice stopped shows an even more frightful situation. The main fright is then described. Thunder, rain, hail, wind, the cowherds, animals, and women were suffering from the thunder and storms in that terrifying condition. They surrendered to Krishna. Directly seeing their condition, he was full of compassion. Though he was overcome with compassion, he showed bravery and was undisturbed. He smiled. He smiled scornfully at Indra. In that mood, he lifted Govardhan with his left hand only, though he was only a child. He lifted it like a mushroom without effort, and he held it up for 7 days and nights, overcome with astonishment, joy, zeal, and conviction. Shukadeva then says, he protected Vraja. Then, in joy and pride, he says, Krishna was the conqueror of Indra's pride. Though Krishna was king of the cows, he destroyed the pride of the king of the devatas. This is spoken in derision. May Krishna show such love for me. On attaining such love, I will attain the position of following the people of Vraja. He speaks of Krishna in the mood of the people of Vraja. Quote, he is king of the cows and king of us people in Gokula. This is shown to be his goal, as in the case of Brahma's prayers. And then he ends his commentary by quoting Rig Veda, gives the Sanskrit, the translation of the Rig Veda text. As soon as he was born, Krishna, Viraha, began to have enemies and undertook many battles. In the form of Govardhan, he easily consumed piles of food. He stopped the attacking clouds, because he held up the mountain easily. Rig Veda. And Sanatan Goswami. Unsatisfied with the wealth of special love, all the people of Raja pray for more love, identifying themselves as people of Raja. They do not utter the name of Indra out of hatred. Indra created rain because he was angry that his worship was replaced with Govardhan worship. He saw the suffering cowherds, cows, and women. They suffered more in that order, cowherds, cows, and women. Krishna was merciful in that order. He lifted the mountain by its root. Paragraph. He did not need the help of Balaram. He had more strength than Vishnu, since he revealed special power in this pastime. He lifted the mountain easily, like a mushroom. Mahendra indicates that Indra was full of pride and that he was stronger than all others. Here his name is mentioned. He broke the pride of Indra because of Indra's great anger at the devotees. This indicates that he gave the greatest benefit to the greatest offender. Therefore, he was merciful. Therefore, he should be pleased with us who have taken shelter of him, though we are fallen. Paragraph. This verse is also meant to appease Parikshit, who was overcome with prema, and a prayer so that the people of Braja, who were surrendered to Krishna, could tolerate the suffering. And there's a little bit more. There's some references to this final verse of chapter 26 in Jiva Goswami's commentary on the meaning of Nanda and Vasudev. So this comes in chapter 5, that same chapter 5 we've been visiting again and again. That is Garga Muni's words to Nanda at the name-giving ceremony of Krishna and Balaram. So now Nanda meets Vasudev. Same chapter. And Shukadeva is speaking. Oh, Maharaj Parikshit, the home of Nanda, Maharaj, is eternally the abode of the Supreme Lord and his qualities, and is therefore always naturally endowed with all wealth. Yet, beginning from Krishna's appearance there, it became a place for the pastimes of the goddess of fortune. Shukadev speaking to Maharaj Parikshit in that chapter. Question. How is it possible to immediately decorate 2 million cows, make 7 mountains of sesame, and give in charity unlimited ornaments, cloth, and decorated cows? Goddess of fortune, Krishna's presence. Since that time, now this is, he's quoting, Jiva Goswami is quoting chapter 1 of Canto 10. Since that time, the city of Mathura had been the capital of all the kings of the Yadu dynasty. The city and district of Mathura are very intimately connected with Krishna, for Krishna lives there eternally. Confirmed. And then there's a reference to Canto 10, chapter 90. He quotes, this is the verse, Krishna lives eternally among the cowherd men and the Yadavas, and is conclusively both the son of Devaki and Yashoda. He is the guide of the Yadu dynasty and the cowherd men. And with his mighty arms, he kills everything inauspicious in Braja, Mathura, and Dwarka. By his presence, he destroys all things inauspicious for all living entities, moving and inert. And the suffering of separation of the inhabitants of Braja and Dwarka. His blissful, smiling face always increases the desires of the gopis of Vrindavan and women of Mathura and Dwarka. He remains eternally in this situation. So there's been some discussion. Do these pastimes take place? These pastimes take place. They're occasional and there's eternal pastimes. And this is two more references. This is taken from the next chapter. This is the end of chapter 26. So going to chapter 27. Shukadeva Goswami said, This is the Indra comes and Surabhi comes and there's things that happen. That's the next chapter. Having thus appealed to Krishna, Mother Surabhi performed his bathing ceremony with her own milk. And Indra, ordered by Aditi and other mothers of the Devatas, anointed the Lord with heavenly Ganga water from the trunk of Indra's elephant carrier, Airavata, in the company of the Devatas and great sages, and gave the descendant of Dasharha the name Govinda, Surabhi. Commentary, Jiva Goswami. Having requested that Krishna accept the position of Indra of the cows, Surabhi, on her own volition, bathed him. Though Krishna did not accept out of shyness, but silence is the sign of consent, maunam samati lakshanam. Indra did not bathe Krishna by himself, but he did so along with the sages, on being ordered by the mothers of the Devatas who had come there. Quote, Krishna, the Supreme Lord, has a heart soft with mercy and is affectionate to those who surrender. In the company of his dear associates, you should come. The time is appropriate. Therefore, do not fear. Perform a festival with devotion. The mothers of the Devatas and the wives of the sages. Then, along with the sages, he bathed Krishna. He bathed him in Ganga water, brought in jeweled pots, using Airavata's trunk, while ringing a jeweled bell, according to Vishnu Purana. Using the elephant, he was very quickly able to gather water from sacred places. And then finally, speaking on this next chapter verse, he makes reference to this verse. Govinda means Indra of the cows, for the name is indicated with the words, Priyan na Indro Govam. May Indra of the cows be pleased with us. Here's a reference from chapter 90 of Canto 10. This is again Jiva Goswami. There are many mantras which indicate Krishna's eternal form. And one of the favorite ones that our acharyas quote again and again is from Gopal Tapani Upanishad. The translation is, I, along with the Maruts, satisfy Govinda, the form of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, who sits beneath a desire tree in Vrindavan. Shukadeva also indicates his worshipable Lord, citing Bhagavatam 2:4:20. Proceed, tam me Bhagavan satam patihi. May the Lord of the devotees be merciful to me. Shukadeva speaking. He shows that the Lord has a human form. Priyan na Indro Govam. May Govinda, the Lord of the cows, be pleased with us. And then again, Canto 6, Chapter 8. May Keshava protect me with his club in the first portion of the day. And may Govinda, who is always engaged in playing his flute, protect me in the second portion of the day. This is from the Narayana Kavacha section. Canto 6, Chapter 8. And here's a short one. This is Jiva Goswami's Gopal Champu. And the heading is Krishna Returns to Braja. This discussion came up. Vrinda says in joy, quote, Indra became angry when his sacrifice was disrupted, and thus he caused rain and hail to fall on Gokula, accompanied by lightning and powerful winds, all of which brought great suffering to the cowherds, animals, and women there. This is our verse. The whole thing is translated or presented. May Govinda, the Lord of the cows and destroyer of Indra's false pride, be pleased with us. That's Vrinda is now saying what Shukadeva Goswami says in Gopal Champu. And then Purnamasi replies, in this way, Shukadeva has spoken of his shelter, Govinda. His statement shows that Krishna cannot give up the cowherds at any time. Krishna vows, I am the shelter of the cowherd people of Raja. That's the end. Commentaries. Nice collection. These commentaries certainly help us get a flavor of the message and the mood and everything. Celebrated pastime, and it's not over yet because there's another chapter, what Surabhi does and what Indra does and so forth. The highlights of all this. Various references are given in various scriptures, interestingly even in Rig Veda, of this pastime. Vishnu Purana and other Puranas also speak of this pastime. Our acharyas have informed us this is a different kalpa, different day of Brahma. Because as we know, Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan appear only once in a day of Brahma, within a specific yuga cycle and Vaivasvata Manu, etc. So they're very, very, very special, very intimate, but the Vedas know of them before they happen or etc. because they're cyclical and there's variations on the theme of, so just even this reference here from Vishnu Purana is slightly different, like Indra ringing a celestial bell while he was bathing Krishna. That's not found in the Bhagavatam. He's overall, it's the curbing of Indra's pride purposefully, and allowing those who have exclusive shelter of him feel Krishna is their exclusive protector. Creating a circumstance that's calamity, filled with fear, filled with danger, filled with those kind of negative emotion things that people of this world experience, but the residents of Vrindavan were placed in that position purposefully by Krishna so that he could do what he did, show his divinity, give them protection, and have them afterwards feel even more secure in that relationship they have with him. And at the same time, according to the different rasas, from the elders, a sense of giving blessings, that is, you know, this confidential nature. It's just from the different rasas, we heard what each of the different rasa personalities did, the cowherd boys and the gopis and the elders and their feeling for Krishna were intensified, which was part of the plan. Now, we're not there, but we can appreciate those that are there and seek through hearing about them, appreciating their greatness and so forth. Similarly, we're hearing the same thing with chapter 14 of Canto 10, Brahma's appreciation of their greatness. And who are we? It's struggling, conditioned souls, often Maya land, hearing of the transcendental love of the residents in Vrindavan and the great feeling that Shukadeva Swami has for them, the passing on that same feeling of being protected to Maharaj Prakshit, who's hearing from him. And the commentary also says, the BBT commentary, this is a lesson for us. That we're not elevated like the residents of Vrindavan, but the protection principle is available to us. And there are some things that are quite problematic and they don't go away so easily. I mean, the current pandemic thing, people are waiting, you know, when's it going to go away? We can get back to football games and basketball games and baseball games and, you know, life as we enjoy it. And economy, how we enjoy it. And it looks really tough. It's not like going away so quickly. So what's it going to look like? How long is it going to last? And speculate this and that, problem solving. No difficulty in problem solving, provided it's with full recognition of our dependence upon Krishna anyway. So as we make a plan and go down the path of executing a plan, it's all dependent upon Krishna's mercy anyway. The sanction of the difficulty is in Krishna's hand. The removal of the difficulty is in Krishna's hand. May Krishna be kind upon us. Shukadeva Goswami is saying, you, Maharaj Prakshit, me, and every one of us. This is the well-wishing of a devotee, or the Bhagavatam has many such prayers. And it's the mood of our taking shelter of the personality of Godhead. So, religious people do that. Anyway, it's the nature of a religiously God-centered person, not just be interested in their well-being, but sacrificing, concerning themselves with the well-being of others, of course, prudently, according to one's capacity and so forth, but all the while dependent upon the personality of Godhead. That dimension is there to some degree and largely missing in Kali Yuga. Not just this country or that country. It's just the paucity of spirituality is sad. Without going into the ways that paucity takes shape today, you know, what does a spiritual person mean and look like in today's world? And what to do? The severe reaction of a worldwide calamity. Why is that happening? We know why it's happening. And what are we to do? Because we're in the same world and, you know, not just protecting ourselves against coronavirus, but this is the practical application message here. It's everything else. Without listing all the everything else's. Our, you know, the families, our community, our opportunity to worship and get together and perform congregational sankirtan, and the economy and job security and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we're living in the same world that everybody else is living in. So the people around us, and to whatever degree, our former activities are also part of that calamity-producing dynamic, and it's just part of the material world anyways, but especially Kali Yuga. So what are we to do? For sure, Shukadeva Goswami speaks the Srimad Bhagavatam. Vyasadeva records the Srimad Bhagavatam in all the Vedas and propagates it, and our acharyas encourage us to hear, chant, and always remember and distribute for the benefit of others. And very powerful, it's one of the messages that Anuttama speaks in this Hare Krishna movie, that, you know, a worldwide upliftment of consciousness through the chanting of, congregational chanting of the holy name, which means not just, you know, we have a 24-hour kirtan in our temples, but the public chanting of the holy name. It's powerful. It's something we can do. I mean, it's not something we can do right now because of the situation. But when we can, that's the faith of our founder Acharya. And that's the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in short. The distribution of literature and the distribution of prasadam and the distribution of the holy name in public forums. I mean, it's fine that devotees get together and take prasadam and have a kirtan to discuss, but disseminating all these things goes around the world. That's what we can do. The root is forgetfulness of Krishna or ignorance, ignoring Krishna. And the solution is remembering Krishna by the prescribed means. So we receive and we give along with everything else that we can, in practical terms, live our lives in exemplary fashion, develop and exhibit the qualities of a devotee in our lives, in our homes, in our interactions with the community and the outside world, etc. That's convincing to others who are looking for solutions. But it's rare, actually, from Bhagavad Gita's standpoint, that how many persons are going to look to God? Yes, in the time of danger, more people are looking to God than not, when there's not the time of danger. So danger comes, and people turn to God. And then the danger passes, and then it's the modes of nature and karma go into full swing. Doing what we're doing and giving the opportunity to others to also do what we're doing, that's the tip of the spear. And then there's the shaft of the spear, that's throwing it, living it, throwing it. Sound. See if there's some discussion.
This is from Yamuna Jeevan Prabhu. There is a comment and a question. The comment is, just as Krishna held up the hill for all the devotees to huddle together and be protected, your divine grace and the devotees arranging the good quality live streaming are keeping us huddled together and protected from this strange global crisis. Thank you for such a delightful experience. The question is, while we are fascinated by how Prahlad Maharaj did not explicitly request that Narasimhadev save him from danger, at least there didn't seem to be a verse describing this. In fact, our Acharya's Kubrajavasi's case, we do see how they reach out to Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:25-13, and this verse today, to be saved. Is this a matter of difference in personalities and or how Krishna inspires these pure devotees from within? Could you kindly comment?
Yes. Difference of personalities and how the Supreme Lord inspires the devotees from within. Correct. He's correct.
And this is Panduranga Gopal Prabhu. He has two questions. The first one is, what is the difference between Bhagavad Dharma, Varnashram Dharma, and Sanatan Dharma?
Bhagavad Dharma, Varnashram Dharma, and Sanatan Dharma. Well, there's certainly a lot of overlap. But the terms are different because they're focusing on a specific thing. Sanatana Dharma means the eternal activity of the living entity. And in some cases, Daivi Varnashram Dharma is often used interchangeably with Sanatana Dharma because there's Varnashram Dharma that's not Daivi. That is to say, Jarasandha had certain features of Varnashram Dharma, but he wasn't Daivi. He wasn't God-centered. So Sanatan Dharma is the God-centered type, and Varnashram Dharma is simply recognizing my psychophysical nature, my ashram and my varna, and abiding by the codes of both and submitting to that principle of the codes of both, you know, for different purposes, commonly for the different purposes is artha. Dharma artha is for prosperity. And then when prosperity is there, becoming an enjoyer of the prosperity, kama. So the real goal is kama. So dharmic, varnashram dharma, that's not theistic, it's material. It's a social structure that's material. How to live within the world where you're not, you know, rudely bumping into each other so much. You're abiding by the codes of dharma. And then the final is moksha, this liberation thing, and that we heard from Brahma's prayers, that's also material. The sayuja kind of liberation is material. And commonly that's how liberation is thought of. Or even, so that's varnashram. And there's daivi varnashram that's, you know, the one-to-one correlation as far as I understand, between Sanatan Dharma that is the eternal occupation of the living being, that is service to Krishna, connected to how we serve Krishna, given our varna and ashram. Daivi varna ashram and sanatana dharma are equivalent. And Bhagavad Dharma is the fifth dimension, you can say, beyond dharma, artha, kama, moksha. That's part of the varna ashram system. It's from the verse that we've been hearing. We heard it last night also. Stanesta takshuti katan tanavan manobhir. This is text 3 from Canto 14, Brahma's Prayers. Stay in your position. So that's Daivi Varnashram. But then specifically, dedicate Tanu Van Manobhir. Dedicate body, words, and mind to service of Krishna that flows from hearing of the topics of Krishna from qualified persons. That's the definition of Bhagavat Dharma. That 14.3 verse, 10.14.3. That's Bhagavat Dharma. And that verse is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted from Ramananda Roy as being the goal of life. Even in the sadhana stage, it's the goal of life. It takes one to the goal of life. So the means to achieve it and the goal described right there. That's Bhagavad Dharma.
And his second question is, the work we do to get money or job, which is 99.99%, is not our natural dharma, mostly to maintain family. What is that activity categorized as? Does that come under apad dharma? He says apad dharma is work done during the times of danger.
Well, it's not exactly. So that what's danger? Here comes a car headed for your car. And then what you do when the car is headed for your car, that's danger behavior. Or something like that. The thief enters the house. And you see the thief and you hear the thief and you, whatever it is that you do, that's the emergency behavior. So the occupation that's not according to our psychophysical nature, I would, disagree slightly, not completely, or somewhat disagree. That is, as a householder, there's a duty to maintain family. So that falls under the ashram part. And the varna part, there's some modes of nature and psychophysical impelling force that has brought each person with some occupation to that occupation. And, certainly there's some other features like, how much money will I make over here versus how much money will I make over there and so forth? What's the likelihood of having job stability over here as opposed to over there? Those are mental calculations, but certainly mental calculations are also driven by the modes of nature. So it has a direct bearing. There are many people I know, they really don't like what they're doing. But how do they get to that position? It has certainly a lot of bearing in psychophysical nature. It has a lot of bearing on the conditioning influences that we're subjected to, like, how the agrarian-based economy changed through mechanization and industrialization and so forth and so on. And then what that did to the more natural psychophysical nature occupations. So it's contaminated by the age of Kali, but it's still very strongly rooted, as far as I can see, at least, in psychophysical nature. Psychophysical nature, you know, seriously contaminated by Kali Yuga influences.
This is Govinda Mohini Mataji's question. During this pandemic, a lot of places are asking for charity. My work being one of them to help many furloughed employees. They have started a relief fund to ask whatever capacity we can contribute. What is the recommended way of giving charity in these times?
You know, those who are receivers of ISKCON connection know that ISKCON News is promoting giving prasadam distribution to workers in the medical field or to poor people and this and that. So prasadam distribution is basically charity, but they have a plan. They've begun a plan of extending kirtan through social media and other forms, so that people, rather than going and watching movies and reruns of sports events and things like, you know, and every news is people mudslinging against each other about who's the cause and what to do about it. They want to give spiritual sound vibration. So investing contributing capacity in those areas, you know, the Bhagavad Dharma principles, that's suitable charity. And I would say, from what I've heard from temple presidents, it's a very difficult time for our temples to keep the lights on, you know, maintain the temple, because people aren't coming and so forth and so on, but they still have their overhead and maintain the deity. So making sure that your local deity, temple deity or whatever, has the proper care. That's something that Prabhupada did when he was a householder. And there was this, he tells the story more than once, that the artificial famine, and so he went to the temple to see if he could make a donation because the temple may need some rice, because the cost of rice was whatever, some number of times more than it's normal. And they said, no, Krishna's taking care. In fact, we have surplus rice and we're distributing. But not all temples have surplus rice or surplus necessities and surplus or even sufficient income to meet their expenses. Just like businesses, but temples, similarly. The temple isn't a business, but it's depending upon people coming and participating, and they're told stay at home. And then, et cetera. People are looking at their income is restricted. Companies are reducing salaries by some percentage or whatever it is, different, you know, belts are being tightened amongst the devotee community. That's another, you know, consider, are there persons in the devotee community that are in a place of hardship, and find out who those people are and assist, I would say specifically help those people. Because their hearts are with Krishna. So it doesn't mean don't do the other things, but there are Bhagavad Dharma methods that are especially appropriate for the devotees. Those are my thoughts on charity during this pandemic time.
This is a question from Sweetie Vyas Mataji. So, her question, I have a question regarding the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Should we propagate it to people who are unsure that they will appreciate or respect it?
Yeah. You'll be cautious about describing confidential things about the holy name, but we give. I was at one family's home during this week that he owns a motel, and I was asking him, when I first heard about the Motel Gita, it's similar to the question about the Maha Mantra. When people, you know, they're fanatic people in this world, fanatic Muslims and fanatic Christians and fanatic Hindus. So if someone that's a fanatic that's anti anything other than what their thing is, they find a Bhagavad Gita in their room, they may defile it and so forth. So I had that apprehension. This Motel Gita thing could be, you know, just putting the opportunity for offense in people's hands, and they'll do it because that's their mentality. And his reply was, I don't know of any circumstance like that. Now, that doesn't mean that it doesn't happen. So giving people an opportunity to become purified may get abused. Giving the holy name to people who may do something offensive with the holy name or to the holy name, that's a possibility. So, but we give the holy name anyways. Because this is the Yuga Dharma that we're recommended to do. We should do tactfully and wisely and thoughtfully and so on, but we do. It's not an offense on our part to do so. We're cautious about describing confidential things about the name and about Krishna to different audiences.
The question from yesterday.
Okay.
Sri Radhika Mataji's question from yesterday. Even our enthusiasm is loaded with modes.
Loaded with the modes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How to prevent enthusiasm from slipping totally into mode of passion?
Well, cultivate goodness. And there's ways to cultivate goodness. And it's not a perfect solution. The perfect solution is become a Shuddha Bhakta. But it's a brake pedal. Frame one's life in the quality of goodness in general. And then that's more likely to be enthusiasm that's free from passion. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, this is similar but somewhat different point, without a spiritual conception, one is certain that enthusiasm will be loaded with passion and will fade after some time, will be intermittent, enthusiastic, complacent, enthusiastic, complacent. Spiritually, you know, for spiritual activity. So spiritual conception and cultivate goodness.
This is from Srinivas Chamati Prabhu. How to apply this summary from today in my own practice of bhakti? Is it keeping on going, whether something coming in my way or not? Either way, considering that it's the mercy of Lord Krishna, keeping in the forefront of consciousness that this is Parampara's mercy, and pass on the results to Guru and Krishna.
What, I didn't get it. Could you summarize it without reading it again? What was the, he's got a picture of how to be Krishna conscious, and what's his question?
The question is, from today's, the last
the application,
summary. Application, Is the application just keeping on going with our devotional service despite the ups and downs and whatever comes or not comes taking
place? Well, more than that, the application is when there's ups, it's Krishna's mercy. When there's downs, it's Krishna's mercy. So it's taking shelter of Krishna. Not just going on. In other words, the going on is not, the emphasis is not so strong in bhakti that is pleasing Krishna. So if your interest becomes pleasing Krishna, then you'll feel protection, and inspired by Krishna, you'll call out to Krishna when some down comes, some difficulty comes, some hardship comes. Just like what we're going through now, the hardship of a worldwide crisis. And it's not over yet. Not just the symptoms and the passing on of coronavirus, it's what's going to happen after that. It's going to be a different world. And people are going to be really uncomfortable in a different world because they're used to the other one. It's going to be different. And the economy and all that and people, rah-rah, and let's see. But so it's not just going on. Yes, going on, but with our life and devotion to Krishna, but with an intensification of shelter-taking and seeking the protection of the personality of Godhead so that we can go on strongly. There was just in response to this question, there was a period of time when Prabhupada was in Mayapur, and there was this tension between India and Pakistan that was like spiking. And Prabhupada started saying, soon there may be a war, and it's not just going to be a war between India and Pakistan, it's going to be a world war, because U.S. will line up with this one, and Russia will line up with that one, and then their allies, and it could, turn into a... So hearing that one morning, then the next morning was, Prabhupada, what should we do? Should we stockpile stuff and build bomb shelters and get guns and, protect ourselves and stuff like that? And Prabhupada was upset, saying, Krishna will protect you, and it'll be a great opportunity for preaching. So figure out ways in that situation to do preaching. So that was his encouragement in that time of difficulty. So going on, yes, and specifically going on in a way that's, say, the current situation, how we can extend Krishna consciousness given the constraints of, A to Z. How can we expand? And then afterwards, the economy is going to be crazy. And people without jobs and all kinds of crazy, supply and demand, they're saying, and getting people back to work, and it's and on and on and on. All the factors that make for economy stimulus and the United States government going bankrupt and the world going bankrupt. And, it's going to be crazy. So opportunity for preaching. Given the circumstance, that's where continuing and taking shelter and considering the ways and the means appropriate for the circumstance to extend Krishna's shelter.
This is from Gopinath. If this crisis goes on, then what would we do for a substitute for Harinam?
I don't know. Social media, online kirtan. That's, maybe that's going to collapse too. I don't know. But you at least Gopinath, you can do in your home. And, inappropriate ways, maybe over in that side of your living room is some other kirtaniers, you know, two or three, and you know, they keep it small. So let's see. And you'll just have to be satisfied with the circumstance what it permits.
This is Kanaka Manjari Mataji from Indore. Bhagavan will not condone the offenses done to his pure devotees. Then how did he pardon Indra, who has committed offense against Vrajvasis?
Well, you're making a statement that may not hold. Krishna will not forgive. Why not? Krishna wanted to curb the pride of Indra, and Krishna curbed the pride of Indra. Indra made genuine apology to the Vrajvasis as well as to Krishna, and Krishna forgave him. So it's like, what about you or any one of us? Do we at any time in our lives make offense to devotees? And Krishna's not going to forgive us. Gosh, that, you know, better not associate with devotees. Krishna will forgive when the sincerely repentant appeal is made.
This is Sanjay Prabhu in follow-up with Sri Radhika Mataji's question about mode of goodness. I want to hear some practical tips of developing and maintaining mode of goodness.
Okay, the food that you eat and your regulation and cleanliness and your how you speak and your the topic of the modes of nature. There are more verses in Bhagavad Gita on the modes of nature than any other topic. So read Bhagavad Gita and find out about the modes of nature and do the mode of goodness ones. Cultivate the mode of goodness ones. Rise early in the morning, mode of goodness. And, you know, there's so many. Happiness, recreation, knowledge in the modes of nature. Go in that direction. You know, start it within your own home and your own personal life. And then extend out.
This is Shrida Prabhu. Sometimes when the topic of vegetarianism comes with some of my colleagues, I feel pained when they bring their religion into the picture to support their arguments. I ask them that even from the point of view of compassion, it is not good to kill animals, but they kind of ignore my request. This gives me pain. How do I overcome this feeling, given they are still good-hearted people? What can I do from my side?
What can I do for?
From my side.
From my side. Well, it's two things. It's his feelings of pain and, you know, their stubbornness. My experience with the stubbornness is you have to appeal to their higher sensibility. And another avenue is within their own tradition, whatever that tradition might be, what do adherents of their own tradition say on this topic? And there are certainly vegetarians in all traditions. In all traditions. You know, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Chankasi, yes, there's sanction, but you know, the condition is the second part of the Quran says better to not. So while there's sanction, better to not. Isn't not a higher position. So you just find out within their tradition what are persons who have spoken on this topic, and rather than from your authority position, from their authority position. Gather, you know, in increments, not like an avalanche, but, you know, little pieces of information from their tradition that shows from their tradition there are people that espouse vegetarianism. Somebody, for example, somebody sent me this link of some priest in the Roman Catholic Church that is an avowed vegetarian, and he gives his explanation why. You know, he figures 30,000 lives he's taken from animals in the course of his life, and so he's going to have a lot to pay. And he speaks about it from the pulpit, from the preacher's position. And he, you know, great contrition. So that's, you know, an example from Christian tradition. Now they could say, oh, garbage. And the man's sick. He shouldn't. So it's perfectly okay. So, you know, evidence and evidence and evidence, the drops of water can wear away a stone. So, and, you know, appeal to reason, even if they're unreasonable. And distribute prasadam. Now, your own feelings just, you know, continue to move in the direct. It is sad. And continue to move in the direction of, now what am I going to do about it?
This is Ram Charan Prabhu. My understanding is that Krishna's pastimes happen once in a day of Brahma.
No. Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan happen once in a day in Brahma.
So I'm wondering, the pastime which we are referring now, was this happened in current Manvantara, the seventh?
It doesn't say. This question came up before Balaram Prasad was asking. It doesn't say which Manvantara.
And next is Visalaksha Prabhu's question. Lord Krishna would have also protected the Vrajavasis without keeping the tension from wind, rain, etc. from Indra. Any specific reasons why the Lord has to do in this way?
He didn't have to do. He chose to do. And it can be different. He chose this way. And it accomplished several things at one time, including curbing the pride of Indra. So you have to ask Krishna why he chose that way. It's his will.
There is a comment from Keshav Kishore Prabhu from the book Padyavali verse 12. The word Krishna is sufficient to purify people's sins if they have.
Purify people?
Sins.
Sins.
If they have blissful services to Lord Mukunda, then the goddess of liberation bows before their lotus feet. That's a comment.
Okay, nice.
Then Gopinath's second question. Even though devotees are not contributing as much to worldwide karma, because, for example, we have better eating habits, still the devotees have to suffer as much as everyone else in
the
situation.
No, devotees don't have to suffer as much as everybody else. The pandemic is worldwide, and so we're in a world that has a pandemic. But what is our suffering? You know, some devotees have said, fantastic, we just have all this opportunity for hearing and chanting we didn't have before. I don't have to drive back and forth to work. I have this extra, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours, 2.5 hours for Shravanam, Kirtan, and Vishnu. You know, it's fantastic. I'm catching up on all the projects, the devotion, you know, devotional projects I wanted to do. So if the heart of the devotee is with Krishna, then we're not suffering the same way that everyone is suffering. We're restricted in similar ways, and we're doing that with that restriction, something that's in relation to Krishna more than we were before there was the pandemic. We're not suffering the same way. And you know, go on and on and on with other people that have an uncontrolled tongue. They can't go out and eat. We don't have that problem. and so forth. That's it. Anything? Srila Prabhupada? Oh, you have something. Okay.
Guru Maharaj, I'm just thinking about all this discussion. There is definitely the deepening of shelter in the process and Krishna. But that's more like when all the other shelters fell off their capacity to give me protection. I'm remembering the one quality that you mentioned, Ananya Sharanatvam in Lord Ramachandra's
sentence. Yes.
Is it a gradual process for us to...
Yes, it's gradual. Yes, it's gradual. I mean, sometimes calamity takes a whole bunch quickly. That's nice. But then, generally it's gradual because we got a lot more after those are gone. And then we like to put them back. Anyway, so, just because we're attached to the temporary, it's gradual. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.